The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
Good morning, welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I think you know the voice already, it's Levin Miller. It's Friday. The people are tired of working. Ba-da-ba-dum. Why does my headphone do this? I'm so happy to be with you. So happy to have you with me. I don't know what you do on a Friday at 11. I definitely don't know. But whatever it is you do, I'm so happy that you decide to do that do with me. Now, there are a number of things happening here today. I should have had some guests, but I haven't heard from them. I haven't seen them. They're not here. The show must go on. I'm so happy to finally be at the end of the week, although this was a short week. The difficulty with short weeks is they usually follow long weekends, and usually I need more time to rest after a long weekend than a normal weekend. So there are any number of things that are happening today. Let me get some housekeeping out of the way. You know that I've decided that I want to help the Bishop, Simeon Hall. His birthday is going to be on the 12th of April. All right, so that's going to be Monday, is it? When is the 12th? When is the 12th of April? I think it's going to be on Monday. But notwithstanding, whichever day it is, the bishop is going to be celebrating a birthday on the 12th. Yeah, that is Monday. And he's decided that for his birthday, he wants to do a give back. He wants to ensure that people in the inner city communities of New Providence have an opportunity to have hot meals and clothing and that sort of stuff. And so he wants you to assist him. He wants you to please go to the New Covenant Baptist Church, where he is the Bishop Emeritus. And he wants you to carry all of your gently worn clothing items and food items. And you take it there to the church. I think they're there every day until 2 p.m. And once you do that, they are going to take those things from you and they're going to package them. And the bishop is going to, for his birthday, he's going to go into the inner city and he's going to distribute food packages, care packages, and that sort of stuff. And he wants you to be a part of it. All right? So that is how you can actually be of some use to humanity and society. I want you to assist the bishop with that. And then, did it not hurt your heart this morning? And I typically listen to the radio on my way in studio because I like to know what kind of magic I'm coming on air behind. But I heard Sparky this morning talking about how he wanted all things to be Bahamian. I'll tell you what is so interesting about Bahamians that say that to me, right? Typically, the Bahamians that say that are the ones that were not born as Bahamians, right? It's largely the people that were born British subjects that continue to tell people like me that were born a Bahamian that I'm not Bahamian enough. It's so interesting when I hear it, because the truth be told, right, they had years ahead of me to take down all of the vestry. They had years ahead of me to redesign all the buildings. They had years ahead of me to ensure that we didn't name all of the armed forces Royal something or Her Majesty something. They had years ahead of me to make sure we didn't name all the roads after the woman children and name all the streets in the family island the Queen's Highway. They had years ahead of me. And so I wonder, in dismay, when did they become so perplexed at the notion that Bahamians enjoyed something that wasn't, air quotations, Bahamian, right? And so I quite honestly do not entertain the argument from people that were born pre-73, right? Because y'all could have fixed it and y'all didn't. And you know something? I like it just the way it is. I like the little blend of Afrocentric culture with the blend of snobbish, highbrow European inculcation. I like it. And so you see that Bahamians have this wonderful ability to be as African as you need them to be, but to be as stush as they so desire. And so while I hear people like Sparky them, and while I hold on to my calyptum tonic, ba-dump, 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 and while I'm able to gyrate in the road and do the African dance like they have imagined, I'm also able to appreciate my Euro inculcation. And for all the people that hate it, I ain't really sure what's going on with y'all. And I'll tell you this, right? You can kind of guess where I'm going with this. Man, the Duke of Edinburgh. The Duke of Edinburgh is no more. Can you believe that we are living in history in a time that none of us have ever had an opportunity to? If you are about 40 years old, neither you or your parents have witnessed the change of a monarch in our entire life. Can you believe that? And so I'm happy. I'm excited to be living through what is possibly historic times where 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now, I'm going to be able to say, I was there. I am going to be able to tell my grandchildren, I remember when Her Majesty's husband died after 74 years. And I also want to say, my granddaddy and my grammy got Her Majesty them in Dubai, because Joyce and Levin would have been married for 75 years if she didn't go home to be with the Lord. So even in all of their pageantry, they still ain't better than my grammy and my granddaddy from Angliston. So they're seeing me glorifying them. I'm just saying that they've had many commendable feats, many commendable things. I mean, you and your wife ain't been married for 7 years. I talking to you driving in your Honda this morning going down Blue Hill Road. You and your wife ain't been married for 7 years. And y'all two then won't kill each other. This man been married to this woman for 74 years, running an entire Commonwealth, Britain, and everything else her face on, in the front of the cameras, with the TV on. And he's been able to do so in a manner that I could only deem as appreciably appropriate. He's been a decent husband. And you know, on the occasion of their 70th anniversary, they asked him, how did it feel to be celebrating 70 years of marriage? You know what he said then? He says, after all this time, I wish to state that I remain faithful to Her Majesty the Queen. I say, you know something? This boy could go far. He could go far in life. If you are a man with any kind of sense, that should be your ultimate default line. After all this time, I remain faithful to whatever the name of your queen is. And so, you know, it is with sad hearts this morning that I must pay homage to the crown. And so, where do you want me to just be all Bahamian? I don't even know what that means. I'm not even sure what being all Bahamian means. Because I know that it is a blend of things that create the Bahamian. All right? And so, why do I not know this word? Anyway, here is my tribute to the crown on the passing of the Duke of Edinburgh this morning at the age of 99. My guess is gonna. God's best. Where's the rest of my national anthem? That's where the rest of it. The thing I like about this, about God Save the Queen, is it almost sounds like some sort of a fall. Bum, 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 confound their politics, cancel their nightmare tricks. Heart is fixed. God save the my tribute to the Crown this morning on the passing of the Duke of Edinburgh. My heart is so sad. You know, I really, really can't imagine what it must be like to lose the person that you've lived and loved for 70 years. And I only could imagine that it would be heartbreaking to have to still hold firm and be the Crown in the middle of all of this with everybody watching at 95. Like, at 95, I would just want to sit down and drink some tea and be sad because I'd lost my husband. But we know that Her Majesty is quite regal and she'll get through it. Anyway, outside of that, let me tell you what else is happening, right? So outside of the Duke of Edinburgh dying on the 9th of April, which now makes it a day I will never forget, I could not have ever forgotten this day because I happen to have a son who has a birthday today. I think he's at home. I think he's at home because, you know, they're still doing this little hybrid school thing. So to my own son, who was born on the 9th of April, 2015, yeah, he's six today. And can I tell you, he says that he kind of doesn't want to be six anymore because he's been waiting to be six for so long. And all he's been doing was waiting and waiting and waiting. And now he kind of just wants to be old enough to be able to go and be a professional blogger. And he doesn't really care about being six. And so to my own son, Alexandria Miller, happy birthday. So the Duke of Edinburgh dies on the 9th of April. My son is born on the 9th of April. And what else is happening around here on the 9th of April? I don't know. I'm supposed to have a guest, though. So they're going to be here shortly. Let me see what this text message says. It says, please play the Royal Britannia song for Prince Philip. I got that next. We're going to play that right next. And then this one here says, the husband gone, she needs to go too. And I don't, you know, for the people that say that kind of stuff, right? I do not agree with you all at all, right? Like, if my daddy owned or conquered or, by whatever means, captured the most landmass on the planet, right? And gave it to me and my lineage to rule over, I wouldn't be trying to give it back to y'all either. Your pa even ain't leave you a 50 by 100, and you would kill one of your brothers, if they tried to take it from you. So why do you believe that the monarch would just want to give up what it is that they have acquired over the years? It's not human to do that, all right? So we're going to play Rule Britannia, and then I'm going to go to the break, and then when I get from the break, I'll introduce my guest, and this is my tribute to the Duke of Edinburgh. Rule Britannia for me.
Roll! Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
To the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against. Yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours.
Well, good morning and welcome back. This is Levin Miller. I'm Unleashed. I'm on your radio. Thank you so much for staying with me. And so now that I've gotten all of the housekeeping out of the way, you know, I've given you the opportunity to go and be a part of Bishop Hall's clothing drive for his birthday. We've paid my respects to the Duke of Edinburgh on his passing this morning at the age of 99, after being married to the most ironclad woman on the planet. Like, you should get a medal for that, yeah? And then my son's birthday is today. He's 6. If you see him somewhere, I don't know where you'll see him because he doesn't drive and I have to take him and I'm not taking him anywhere. But if you do see him, you could wish him a happy birthday. But now we're talking about, because I wanna as we move throughout this this new world, right? I'm trying to think about all of the things that I think may need, or people may need, to give them some help and assistance with figuring out how the new world will look and what it is it'll be like, etc. Right? And so, you know, I've had insurance agents in here, and I've had some other people in here talking about, the financial people in here talking about exactly how will the world look. What are some of the things we've got to get done? You know, I think the pandemic has given us a wonderful opportunity to reset a lot of things. And in the reset, there are things that we're going to have to consider about, like, how do we create new industry? How do we create new jobs? How do we get new science and new technology involved in the recreation of the new world? How do we create new energy that is more sustainable and cheaper? And so I met somebody, and they were telling me about how it is that they are actually in the business of LNG. And so I thought, because I know that the conversation around LNG hasn't been a new one. It's one that's been around for a while. And it's one that apparently is coming back up again. And so the question then in my mind is, Have we taken as deep a look as we could in the direction of LNG? And how do we go about ensuring that we have sustainable electrical supplies that allow people to operate businesses at a cost that are a bit lower than we are doing it now? And what exactly does that look like in the future? And how are people able to tap into that and kind of benefit for it for themselves on a personal level? So I met Miss Priscilla Cardozo. You know, my Spanish is muy, muy poquito, right? You know, we got into a conversation about LNG. And so I brought her in today because I want to talk to her and I want to kind of get an understanding on what exactly it is that people like her do and how do we add that to the forward movement of the world, the planet, the country in a post-pandemic Bahamas, in a post-pandemic world, in our post-pandemic life. And so good morning, Miss Priscilla Cardozo. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Miller.
I got this name correct, didn't I? Priscilla.
Yes,
I'm good. I'm getting better at it.
You did very well.
Yeah.
Many people mistake my name.
Oh, yeah?
Because it's not a common name.
It's not English. So most times, you know, people kind of get pronunciations kind of mixed up. But I feel like I could get it kind of.
Yeah,
almost.
You did.
All right, definitely. Good. See that? I get 10 points. So tell me about renewable energy and the new world. Tell me about the use of LNG in the new world. And what is different today about LNG that wasn't something we realized, recognized, or understood 10 years ago or 5 years ago?
Yeah, so the world requires us to become more green and greener. And that's why it's so important to invest on renewables and cleaner energy. But it's very important that source can be very reliable and stable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the technology actually help us to do that. So let just give you a brief mm-hmm. about my company.
Mm-hmm.
So MSHS Group, it's an American company.
Mm-hmm.
We were founded in 1983, mm-hmm. almost 40 years in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And we offer an extensive scope of services and products that support many types of power generation,
mm-hmm.
including renewables and LNG,
okay.
which is a liquid natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
While the path towards to clean energy can be complex, our global network of trusted brands and our group of engineers can help customers at all levels, offering turnkey solutions customized for each different needs.
Okay.
Depends on the island, depends the way how the power generation is created. So we also help customers to make the best and most cost-effective decisions to select the right specifications and solutions for each job and keep their equipment, assets, running longer, reliable, and safely, and in optimum condition. So in regards to the renewables and the clean energy, which includes LNG, but also includes hybrid systems, which includes solar panels,
mm-hmm.
Batteries,
mm-hmm.
And a small genset just for emergency. And the most important in these microgrids or hybrid grids is the power management system,
mm-hmm.
because that one will actually bring stability to the power. Let's say if there is a cloud,
mm-hmm.
The power management system will manage a way where instead of the solar panel be supplying power,
mm-hmm.
He will smoothly change to the battery,
mm-hmm.
if there's power storage there. Otherwise, smoothly will change to the engine, to the small engine.
Now, one of the issues people typically have with newer forms of energy, right, is it's new. So
mm-hmm.
people always have questions like reliability, sustainability, mm-hmm. maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
One of the challenges we have with a lot of things is, if I buy it and it's new, it works while it's new. But what happens as it age? how efficient is either LNG generation or solar generation, and how practical is it for the average consumer?
It's very reliable, and it's been out there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it's not something new,
mm-hmm.
but it's becoming more and more important in the world itself because of the problems we have with environmental
mm-hmm.
issues. And in the islands, we can make that more cost effective to the population if you add those microgrids towards the renewables. Not basically as a main source of power,
mm-hmm.
but additional.
As an auxiliary power.
Yes, auxiliary power. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And okay, so then now the conversation is affordability, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the average person will say, well, I don't have enough money to be able to afford, you know, 40 cents per kilowatt hour, or I think it's 30 cents per kilowatt hour, and have a backup supply of power. Or they may say, well, if my backup supply of power is cheaper, then why can I not just run my backup supply of power, which I don't think is allowed in the law? Is it something that average people could be a part of?
Yes, there are some, actually, there are some countries and some islands. Mm-hmm. They do offer customers to install solar panels on the houses,
mm-hmm.
which will supply some of the power. Now, BPL actually has good plans mm-hmm. on bringing to Bahamas
mm-hmm.
a greener source of power,
mm-hmm.
and we are here to support them.
Okay.
So we already spoke, and we are available to support them in any needs they have.
So let me ask you this other question: what about disposal of let's just say battery cells, you know, burnt out panels, that kind of stuff? Because I always hear the argument about alternative energy being friendlier with the environment, right? And mm-hmm. sometimes that argument makes sense to me because it doesn't require the use of big diesel engines, right? But when I consider the fact that small island nations all have a difficulty with disposing of waste,
mm-hmm.
so I think about what lithium batteries mean in the water table. I think about what trying to dispose of these things mean in the general environment. How have we been able to offset the risk involved with disposing of the accoutrements necessary in this alternative energy versus, I guess, just dealing with the outright upfront challenges we have with fossil fuels, etc.?
I believe that one of the solutions is actually you have the company who will help you with the engineering design mm-hmm. of the project to have inspections
mm-hmm.
Frequently, and of course be the one helping to dispose that.
Okay.
So that should not be.
So you think it has to be kind of like in small countries, like a national thing. So mm-hmm. there has to be like a national disposal plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But those equipments, they last very long years.
Okay. What is the general life expectancy on, let's just say, an LNG generator? What is the natural life expectancy of a solar panel system for, I don't know, let's just say I wanted to build a small subdivision, right?
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to have 70% of that subdivision on solar, right?
Mm-hmm.
What exactly, as an investor, would I be able to expect as the life expectancy for my equipment?
Yeah, it depends on the maintenance as well,
mm-hmm.
of course. But it can last 10, 15, 30 years.
And what is this stuff? What would be, I don't know, what is a basic general cost for introduction to solar?
It depends how much power do you want to generate. Mm-hmm. So it's vary.
Okay.
Depends on the how many megawatts.
How many megawatts? What would you say I need to, let's just, okay, so this is the best example I can come up with. The government is about to do a small housing complex. It's going to be 87 houses, is it? Or 85? 80-something houses, right? So let's just say the government wanted to turn this into their very first green project.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think I would need to generate? I don't know, enough power for 85 houses, a pool house with a 24-hour-a-day pool. What amount of electricity do you think I'd need to power that kind of a grid?
In a house?
No, in a small community like that. So you got 80 houses, give or take, I don't know, all two bedrooms, maybe three bedrooms,
mm-hmm.
with a day activity pool, you know, kind of pool clubhouse kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of equipment that it would take to get something like that. Like, let's just say the government wanted to decide that, okay, we're going to start making green communities.
Mm-hmm.
How difficult would it be to start a green community of that capacity, fully powered by solar?
It's not difficult.
Cost-wise. Yeah, like how much more would that add to the cost if the government decided that we wanted to make mm-hmm. this new community a green community?
That's really difficult for me to estimate that for you right now. Yes.
Is there like a per household average though? Like can you say to me, okay, it costs about $10,000, $20,000. I think Graham Weatherford, if he's listening, he could give me a call. I think Graham Weatherford usually estimates the cost at about $27,000 per household.
Yeah, something to that effect. Yeah, that's around that average.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying to me that $27,000 investment will last me for about 10 years.
Yeah, more or less, or okay. even more.
Okay. And what would you estimate roughly monthly or annual maintenance on solar to be?
It's very minor on the maintenance standpoint.
What do I have to maintain?
You have to do inspections mm-hmm. to make sure there's no any cracks or any problems mm-hmm. on the solar.
Mm-hmm.
And also you have to check the power management system. If everything is, if it's working well.
Okay.
But you can do that once a year.
Once a year?
Yeah.
And what does the average maintenance inspection cost on a solar system?
Normally it costs, like for my company, it costs a man hour of an engineer, man hour,
mm-hmm.
Which is average $85 an hour.
Okay. So about an hour at $85, and we do that once a year to check the maintenance of, to check the system of my solar.
Yeah,
panel. That's pretty cheap.
If everything's going well.
It's pretty
well.
Cheap.
Yeah.
It's pretty cheap. Okay, and so we go into solar, and you say it's sustainable. So what about, we suffer from massive hurricanes around here, right?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of structure do I need to have in place to be able to be solar or to move towards solarizing my house?
Yeah, that's one of the considerations, of course, because of the hurricanes. But normally those solar panels, they are very resilient.
Mm-hmm.
And in case of a hurricane,
mm-hmm.
then you have to do an inspection and change some plates if necessary,
mm-hmm.
some of the panels.
Okay. So let's just say we have a hurricane like the one we had in Abaco where the hurricane lasts 3 days, 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
Are you suggesting that I might be able to maintain electricity the entire time while the hurricane is going if I'm solar without any sunlight or anything like that? I should have enough battery powered stored to have light during the entire hurricane?
Yeah. So that's why the batteries comes along.
Mm-hmm.
And also, that's why we always talk about the hybrid system,
okay.
which is
explain
more
the hybrid
reliable.
System to me.
Hybrid system, you have the solar panel as a main source of power.
Okay.
And then you have the storage batteries. So while the solar panel is collecting power from the sun,
mm-hmm.
so it's stored in a battery. And then you have a small engine, which can run in LNG,
mm-hmm.
can run in diesel, whatever it's more convenient.
Okay.
So if you have cloud, so the power management system will actually transit
okay.
the power supply from the panels to the batteries.
Mm-hmm.
If the battery is low, then the
engine will kick
the
in.
Engine is activated.
Okay.
And so that's how it works.
So what about people that suffer from flooding? Because that is another issue, right?
Mm.
In order to have solar panels, you need to have solar panel battery storage.
Yeah.
I imagine they're very, very heavy, which means you don't want to put them in your roof. And the roofs in the Bahamas get very hot, which means you probably don't want to put them in there either. So you have to look somewhere down low to store them. But most places in Nassau flood. How resistant are batteries, solar batteries, to flooding?
Well, you have to actually create a platform.
Platform, okay.
A platform.
Mm-hmm.
A skid. Now we call it skid to put that system together. Okay. But the
are they resilient against like if my house floods, let's just say, because I could have a platform in my house. I don't know if you've experienced flooding in the Bahamas before, but sometimes the flooding is knee deep. So let's just say I did build a platform, but my house still flood, right? And my batteries happen to have been exposed to flood water. How much of a challenge is that, and how easy is something like that for me to rectify as somebody that probably wants to go towards solar?
Well, now you're talking a different thing, because when you're talking about having a solar to individuals' houses, normally it's installed on the roof.
The battery?
No, the panels.
The panels. Well, I'm talking about the batteries, though.
Yeah, so some of the systems for the house, individual houses, do not have batteries.
Okay. So how do they store
power?
Only
the solar. There is no storage of power.
Okay.
It's the solar panel that you supply you with the power during the day, and then it switched to the grid provided by the public service
during the nighttime.
During the nighttime.
Okay.
That's a different system.
Sure.
So we are talking about the hybrid grid, which will support the generation for the public service, and we will provide support also and backup to the main power generation. So the power plants and the solar panel on the houses, it's a totally different configuration.
Sure. Now, I don't know how well you know BEC, BPL, whatever you want to call them. How possible is this? Because I can tell you, as somebody that lives in the Bahamas, like we suffer from challenges with BPL that are, in my mind, archaic at best. Like, BPL still struggles with having transformers at the back of people's houses that they can't access with the bucket truck. They have challenges with corroded wires coming from transformers. These are everyday problems that they have, right? How does a system like this one interact with a system that probably is, you know, as rigid as BECs or BPLs and not cause an issue? How compatible are these two things? Like, if I wanted to do this living in Nassau, how much frustration would I suffer as a consumer trying to blend these two systems?
As you're saying, as you having your
yeah,
house.
if I'm in Nassau, right? I live in Nassau. I'm powered by BPL. Now, I always tell people that sometimes you bring things from other places and then you never consider what it would work like when you get home, right? How compatible is this solar conversion hybrid system? What are the possibilities of me getting optimum use out of that system on a BPL service?
It's very resilient. And like I said in the beginning, BPL is one of the customers of ours. We support them in many power plants. And they do have plans for those projects.
And you say an individual setup for a household of maybe, I don't know, four bedrooms. For him, it's like to build big houses. So four bedrooms, three bathrooms, kitchen, dining room, sitting area that nobody sits in. You said I would need about how many panels would I need for something like that? And what, and you said it'd be, the cost should be somewhere around 27K?
Yeah, around that.
All right, let me see if I can take some calls. 323-623-2323-254-316. If any one of these people is Graham Weatherford, you can check that line for me. If any one of them is Graham Weatherford, I won't talk to him. Because he's the guy that knows this kind of stuff. 325-4259. You can text me on 422-4796. Also, Arlington, somebody here is requesting that we look for the Valley Boys version of Rule Britannia, and I end the show with that. So let's see if we can find that as well for them. I'm joined the studio this morning. I have a guest because I want to talk about what the new world will look like and how do we make the transition into the new world. How do we reduce things like the cost of electricity? How do we do things like become more food sustainable? How do we do things like protect ourselves with insurances? And so these are some of the conversations I'm trying to have as we go out of the pandemic into the new life we will have. And how do we fix that? How does that look? Are we thinking about all of the possibilities? What will it take to ensure that we don't suffer the fate that we've had already, all right? And so Priscilla Cardozo joins me in studio this morning as we talk about the possibility of the solarization of at least one island in the Bahamas so that we could move towards more sustainable energy at a cheaper cost. Comparably, what would you say, Priscilla, is the difference in the cost per kilowatt hour between the way we do electricity now and possibly LNG or solar? What would be the difference in costing of generation of power?
The cost is very significant lower. Mm-hmm. I'd say 40% lower.
40% lower?
I would say so.
Hmm. So let's just say if it was, you know, the one thing I learned how to do is find 10%, right? So if the cost of electricity is 40 cents a kilowatt hour now, 10% of that would be 4 cents.
Mm-hmm.
So 40% would be, 4 times 4 is what, 20, 16? 16 cents cheaper? Is that what you said? So it would be 16 cents take away 40 would be 4, don't test my maths, 24 cents?
Don't test me.
24 cents?
That should be more or less the savings.
Okay, put on those headphones. Let's see who's on the phone. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller there? Not there. Let's take the next call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller there?
Caller there. You know what's wrong with you and your guest?
Hey, Bremen, put those headphones on
yes,
for me, please.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, Bremen.
Well, wonderful. Caller there to you, and of course, the universe and the lady.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first, I want to say to you, you know, you are what you would call a, it got away from me. But anyhow, delay to the lady. Now, what's her name?
Miss Cardozo.
Miss Cardozo.
Cardozo, yeah.
All right, Miss Cardozo.
Yes.
Hello?
She's here. Go on, Bremen.
Hello, I'm here.
Yeah, now the batteries, right, in which you speak of. Some batteries goes with, when talking about the maintenance of the whole situation, right? Let's start with the battery. Some battery uses, when they get slow, they need acid or rain water.
Mm-hmm.
With the battery in which going to be used for those panels, what it goes with?
What are the batteries?
What to get low.
So she's, okay, so if you were listening, Bremen, what she said was they have two types of system. They have one where there are no batteries, right? And so those solar panels are hooked up directly into your breaker panel. They power your house in the day, and once the sun goes to a certain temperature or, I guess, height, your house automatically switches back over onto BEC. There is no battery.
Okay.
Then they have a hybrid system where there is a either LNG or diesel engineered engine that's hooked up to it, and those ones go with the battery. What happens is the panels send power to the battery, right, and the electricity is stored there from the sun, and at any point those batteries go too low, the engine kicks in and charges the battery back up.
Okay, so how long the battery lasts?
It depends on the size of the grid and the battery.
And I imagine the consumption.
Yeah.
Right. So you may be one of those people that like to leave every light on in the house and whatever else you mm-hmm. like to do. I guess it would depend on the usage, Bremen.
What's it there? There's a 12 volt battery, what? 24 volts, what?
What's the voltage of the batteries?
That's a good question.
I don't think she knows, Bremen.
Yeah.
I want to ask you something. The main proprietor, the number one proprietor of your company, what's his or her name?
The name of the company?
No, the proprietor, the main proprietor. The number one proprietor of the company.
I also don't have that information yet, Bremen.
She doesn't have it either. She should have it.
The name of... I'm sorry.
He's trying to figure... Okay, Bremen, stand on the phone and listen. He's just trying to figure out who are the... I don't understand the importance of the question. Who do you work with?
Oh, I work for MSHS Group.
Okay, there you have it, Bremen. That's the name. Let's take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hey, good morning, Brother Miller. How you doing, man?
I feel good.
Yeah, this your boy. You remember me, the solo expert.
Ah, yes. How you doing?
Yeah, Mr. Noah, Texas. And so, like, let me just help the lady. I think she's trying, but she ain't really understand some of the questions you're asking, all right?
Okay.
Like, for instance, the solarized, those 119, 1 megawatt power of solar cost for $1 million, and it could solarize 190 ohms 24 hours a day.
$1 million could solarize... Could power 190 homes.
Yeah.
So you're telling me then, Noah, that if the government wanted to, let's just say, and I'm using this because this is the newest thing on the block, the 89 homes that they want to build, or the 89 lots that they want to build in Westridge there, you're saying to me that for less than $1 million, they could solarize that entire community annually?
Yes, not a problem. As a matter of fact, they already have a system in place. The system to the sports center is 1 million megawatts. And I say so on that, not a water. And the next thing with BC to BC is well working along with the solar community, but also to do any solar installation in the mom, she must be a certified electrician, a licensed electrician.
Okay.
And she's trying to do some stuff, but she don't really fully understand what she said. I guess she's more of a salesperson, mm-hmm. not a technical person. You know, I'd be willing to come on the show anytime and explain to the public how it works and the pros and the cons. But basically, we need to really go solar in the Bahamas, and it's not only solar power, we could use wind power, we could use geothermal, where we take the water from down below the sea, bring it up, cool a lot of stuff, and that could supply our cooling very easily to have energy.
And versus LNG, what comparably.
LNG is basically a clean fuel burner. Every energy source have advantages and disadvantages. Okay. Pros and cons, you just need to look at the setup and what's best for you and how best to apply to you. But just quickly before you go, you're talking about the battery storage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the new lithium batteries right now, you can charge them down to zero capabilities and they can mark up energy. And people, the technology is advanced so much now that they move away from lead acid battery or AGM battery, which is water based, and all of that. I mean, if we get time, you know, I'll be willing to explain, and you know, people want to know more.
Okay. Definitely, I'll come and look you up for sure.
Not a problem.
Okay, subtext right here says, "Hi, my BPL bill is the best I've seen in 40 years." I have to admit, BPL is getting a little cheaper. This other text right here says, mm-hmm. "Hi, Levin, I have a solar system, and I have a $12 BPL bill this month. My system feeds back into the grid, but BPL pays little to nothing for energy they get for the energy they get from me." So, are you saying now that with the solar panel system that you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
it may be possible for Bahamians to begin to distribute their own power then?
It depends what the government will plan for that, no? Because some of countries they do allow the residents to have their own solar panel. Some of other islands they don't. So I don't know exactly how the Bahamas government is planning towards to it.
Let's just say I was a newly married couple, right? Would you recommend that for marriage or wedding gift, that I ask my friends to sponsor me and my wife a solar panel rather than whatever else they buy for married people? I don't know. I'm not married.
Yeah. Well, for example, in Florida, mm-hmm. there is an incentive from the power management company
mm-hmm.
To the houses to have actually solar panel. So they have been breaking down payments and everything. So it really depends on the government and how they see, you know, the future.
Let's take one more call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there?
Hi, Levin. How are you?
I'm good.
Caller, you have an inspirational show. Very good.
Thank you.
I'm a owner of a solar system.
Mm-hmm.
I would advise any Bahamian, and they're about to make that kind of investment, they need to do their proper research.
Okay.
Because here it is in the Bahamas. We have a lot of jokers out there
mm-hmm.
who they sell it and do one solar installation, and they will swing you.
Okay.
They will overcharge you, some will overcharge you, and some will actually give you a poor installation.
Okay.
But some of them really don't know what they're doing.
Okay.
Okay? So they need to do their proper research.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes them and these guys, they go online and they purchase refurbished or second-hand equipment. So they really need to do their research before they decide on purchasing solar.
How is your solar system, how has that been for you?
I have a 7K system.
Mm-hmm.
With a...
Okay, caller, you are breaking up. I don't know where you are, but I'm having difficulty hearing you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Go on.
Okay, initially I started out with a 7K grid tying system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but this day and time with technology, doesn't make...
No, I think we lost him. I think we lost him. We're going to be out of time, though, by the time as he gets back. Okay, so, Priscilla, it was good to have you. Give me the name of your company again.
Thank you. It's MSHS Group.
Say it again slowly.
MSHS
Okay.
Group.
Okay. And you guys are online?
Yes, we have a website. So it's...
Give me the website.
www.mshsgroup.com.
Okay, so for all of your inquiries about solar systems and that kind of stuff, you can go and check them out. Thank you again for being with me, Priscilla.
No, absolutely. Thank you. And as the last gentleman said, mm-hmm. I am a salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope I could answer as much as possible the questions
sure.
you ask me. But I do have an engineering group
uh-huh.
that could be helpful if you need more further information.
No problem. Alamdan, I'm trying to find the Valley Boys version of Rule Britannia. Y'all can't find it? Because I don't want Sparky to cuss me out and tell me I'm being a behemoth on the radio today. But anyway, the Duke of Edinburgh has died. This is my tribute to him. I send my condolences to the Crown. Your Majesty, please accept my greatest and most humble condolences. If you see my son, his name is Alexandrio Miller. He's going to be 6 today. I'm leaving, Miller. It's Friday. Do everything in your power to make sure you don't kill anybody. More importantly, make sure that nobody don't kill you. I'll see you.